What's up, brother? I want to introduce the one and only War Rhino. Not only are you a Purple Heart recipient, you're a veteran, but you are also a professional fighter. Man, it's an honor just for you to clear your schedule and come on the podcast and give me a little bit of your time. If you can, tell the listeners and introduce yourself a little bit.
Heck yeah, brother. Thanks for having me, man. Yeah, dude. Purple Heart recipient, wounded back in 2003, during the invasion of Iraq, served in the Marine Corps, proudly, ended up getting medically retired out in 2005, accidentally fell into professional fighting. I know that sounds absolutely crazy, but yeah, I mean, my story's online. It's kind of a weird, turn of events, but ended up becoming a professional athlete, fought for 17 years. Broke my neck, and that took me out of the game. But now I run a very successful company. I still give back to veterans worldwide. I give back to people in need, and here I am, man. It's 2024, and just pushing forward.
Dude, it's honestly, it's an honor. The first time you and I met was last year at the celebrity softball game. And honestly, man, your character and everything is just exciting. The first time that I had met you, I think when they were introducing you, you ripped off your pants. And here you are. I'm like, who is this guy ripping off his pants and wearing a American flag shorts? Dude, it's funny. So talk to me a little bit about that. Just your energy. You're very outspoken, which is what I love. You don't find a lot of people nowadays that are very outspoken. And one, not only are you outspoken, you can back it up as well.
Yeah, man. So, a lot of people, I don't know, I grew up in a very, I grew up on a farm in northern Midwest, and growing up on a farm life in Wisconsin, you don't really have a chance to be yourself. You have, very regimented life. And, I was always the louder guy on the wrestling team, on the football team. I was a goofer I was a little goober since day one. I loved to goof around. I got in trouble a lot on the sport. I man, the amount of push-ups and the laps I had to do, it was, it paid for itself. And then I went off to the Marine Corps, and had my fair share of punishments, from being a little goofball. And then I get out, and I didn't really know my own identity, if you will. Started fighting professionally, and I still didn't have it. And then something happened. There was a big change, 2009, 2010, and this change came out, and I just realized, dude, I own what I am, and I own the persona that I have, or what am I doing? And it's like, grab life by the huevos or don't. And I went for it, and I really owned it, absorbed everything, and just went with it. The War Rhino came to full life. I was given that name, and it just, dude, here I am. Like you said, everybody knows me. They're like, oh man, that guy's really over. Like, even this year, people were like, dude, you're really overdressed. It's like, I'm known as the guy that, walks around 90% naked 90% of the time. I don't go all the way, but I in life, everything I do is very gray area. I'm very good gray area life walker. So, hanging out with the people that I do, the crowds that I associate myself with, it's so funny, dude. It doesn't matter where we are. I'm like, shirts off. I'm not the most in shape person, but dang, I don't care, dude. I'm comfortable in the shell that God created and that God gave me. So I'm gonna rock it. I got enough tattoos. Let's go.
And dude, it's incredible because when I was watching you and we were kind of communicating at the baseball game, it was wild and crazy and exciting, you know. And I really didn't know much of your story until we talked later on that night. And I seen two different people, and I was like, wow, this dude right here is in, like, I was getting cold chills from your story. And then I ended up going and listening or watching or talking about your story with you that night, where I was able to read it. And I'll post it later, but give me a little bit more in detail of that story, man. The stuff that I was reading is incredible. And I think you're an inspiration to millions that hasn't heard your story because it's so unique on how you transition. One, like I was saying in the beginning, being a Purple Heart recipient and then still being a professional athlete, you know, like you're amongst less than that 1% for that to ever happen. And to really have a story like yours, to be able to go from some of the tough situations that you've been in and to where you are now in life is just so incredible. And something in that story that I kind of want you to touch on is when I was reading, some people from that story was saying, like, hey, he was just showing up to the gym, getting beat up every single day, and we could not get him to stop. Like, he was coming back and back and back. What's your mindset going through that and living that? Because I think some part in that story where you were on drugs as well, correct?
Yeah, man. Wow. Yeah. So, kind of got me cold chills a little bit, man. Getting out of the Marine Corps, and I was very young, and I grew up very poor. I grew up in a very prideful German family, super, super prideful. We didn't ask for help. I remember many Christmases, many times I grew up, eating at Salvation Army. If I got, one of my comfort foods to this day is cream corn. And people ask me why I eat cream corn. And it reminds me of my humble beginnings, because if we got a can of cream corn, dude, I was in heaven. And that was given to us by Salvation Army. Get the fake bread that, my mom could make, with starch. And it's so funny, because those little things just made you so resilient to what this world is gonna throw at you. And I never tell somebody a sob story. I don't, everybody's got a story. What do you do with that story afterwards is what counts. And so I'm not like, oh yeah, I grew up. Yeah, come on now. So then, fast forward, I join the Marine Corps, and yeah, I get wounded in action. Being a Purple Heart recipient, you're already, like you said, a small percentage. There's 38,000 Purple Heart recipients from the Iraq War and 19-year war. 38,000 of us. That's a minuscule amount, and then turn into a professional athlete. Okay, so I'm from a tiny town in Wisconsin. Most people can never find on a map. It's Omro, Wisconsin, so it's outside of Oshkosh. And everybody just it was very you live, die, and breathe Omro. Like, that's it. That's where you're gonna die, and it. My family moved to Oshkosh when my mom got married, remarried, moved up to Oshkosh. And that's where they make the bibs. Everybody always asks, but we moved up there. I was voted most likely never to leave my hometown, most likely never to leave. And, everybody was like, oh, the counselors said I would never graduate. They thought I would never graduate high school. Ended up being, I ended up getting a college scholarship for wrestling. And I had a choice. September 11th, September 11th happened. I'm 16 years old. And I'm sitting in world history class, second period, Miss Pritchard, dude. I walk in and I see the first tower on fire. I had no idea what World Trade Center was. And I walk in and we're sitting there. And that's when they had the TV carts rolling, the TV strapped down TV in there. And I remember the second tower getting hit. And then I watched the tower fall. Mind you, I'm all in world history class. Like, talk about, God just putting things right where they need to be. And I looked over at my buddy. We were in JROTC at the time. And I looked over at him and I said, I need to go. And he goes, dude, you're 16, bro. You can't go anywhere. I go, yep. And I ran down to the counselor, found out what classes I needed. I graduated high school a full year early, graduated when I was 16. 2 days later, I turned 17. And I convinced my parents. My dad's a Vietnam veteran. My mother lost family members in Vietnam. We have family members on the Vietnam Wall, POW and MIA. And so it was hard for her to compartmentalize that. It was really hard for my dad, but I think my dad respected it, because my dad volunteered for Vietnam. My dad was never drafted. Go on, get hurt, all this, and I lose a cousin in Iraq. My cousin was killed in action. So it was hard. And I get back, and then I become a pro athlete, like you mentioned. But now I'm dealing with all these trials and tribulations of being wounded. Now I'm fighting. And yeah, like you said, I show up to the gym, and I remember these guys, they did not like me. All I had was wrestling. And they were like, dude, this is just another guy. He moved at, he thinks he's gonna be something. Let's get him out of here. Joe Duarte, Pat Spate, and Wade Shipp used to just beat the brakes off of me every day, day in, day out. But now, Ryan, the funny thing is, I was so poor, living on this like $740 income. I was eating a hot and ready pizza. I had one pizza and I'd make it last a week. But I knew how to live like that from my childhood. I knew how to be humble. I knew how never to ask for help, never to ask for anything. I would go to one of their guys' house wearing my workout clothes and jump in the jacuzzi and be like, oh, shucks, all my stuff got wet. So that way I didn't have to do laundry. Now it's all in chlorine. Oh, geez. Yeah. Now that's gross, but that's what I used to do, man. And, so these guys, I just kept coming back. Well, after about 7, 8 months, they're like, bro, we can't get rid of this kid. This kid will not stop. Then they started going, well, we should probably teach him something if he's going to be here and be a valuable part of the team. So they took me under their wing and they started teaching me stuff. I mean, when they started teaching me actual jiu-jitsu, actual striking, actual, how to read a cage, how to do all this, they were like, dude. And then I started excelling. And I wasn't only excelling, but I was surpassing them and in publicity and everything, just going, this gets to your head when you're 22 to 24 years old. And I got heavily addicted to drugs. I got heavily addicted to cocaine. The survivor's guilt, I never dealt with all the past trauma from the Marine Corps. I never talked to anybody about it. I just bottled it up and put it real deep inside. Ended up trying to take my life, 2009, June 14th, 2009. And I mentioned earlier in the podcast, just the War Rhino came out in about 2010. And that's why, because in June 14th, 2009, I purposely overdosed. I died, and they found me unresponsive with no heartbeat, and they ended up needing to paddle shock me. And they were able to get me back alive. And I'll never forget how feeling so guilty. I've failed at a lot of things in life and I've sucked at a lot of things and I've been okay with it. But to suck at killing yourself, I mean, that was something that just, you got to add a little comedy in there. But it's just like, it's like, that's one thing I'm really glad I sucked at in life. If you're going to mark one thing that you're glad you sucked at, that's one. And I came to, and I knew the people. I was so, I got this. It wasn't I realized I needed a team. And when people can realize the team doesn't need to be a million strong, three, four strong. And I realized that by 2010, man, if you look at my record, all of a sudden my MMA record just went through the roof. I rattled off, I think, 11 wins in a year in 2011. I just went wild, dude. I was fighting like crazy. I ended up having my baby girl 2013. Just life just became so clear and so amazing. Traveling the world, I'm just a little farm kid that, just never took no for an answer and says yes to everything and really just absorbed and said, you know what? It's kind of like that hold my beer moment. And I'm like, dude, I'm doing this and you're not stopping me. So here I am.
Dude, it's incredible. Even hearing it, you and I have already talked prior, dude,
Yeah.
and I knew your story, and I still get chills just listening to it, man. You're such an inspiration, and I think that's what I'm trying to do now. After being an influencer and now doing a podcast, I'm still active duty, and I'm wanting to take individual stories like yours and just show the world that it's okay to be able to speak about your issues, and or not even an issue. It was
Yeah.
a problem at a time, and that's something that we own. No matter what we go through, the troubles, trials, and situations, I wholeheartedly believe that that's the reason I'm here today, and that's what's paved the way for me in my journey. The first 15 years of my life being physically, mentally, and emotionally abused, I look at it now as not a disadvantage. I'm able to talk about that and that experience and combat and everything we've been through to be an inspiration to millions like you are. What would you say, if you can speak a little bit more on it, to people that is pertaining or has thought mental health isn't something that you should talk about? I deal with it a lot in the service with service members saying like, oh, you're super weak if you talk about your problems. Well, you're an example that you don't have to be weak. You can talk about your problems and still be as strong as you are and go out here, adapt and overcome and conquer. What would you say to the people that's listening right now that think they shouldn't talk about their mental health?
For the longest time, and I love my father. I love my father bar none. There's, the man, has gone above and beyond for his family. He has been there for me. He's an immigrant from Germany. He lived a hard life before coming to the US and then still fought for the US. So I learned a lot of my life from him. And it was always lock it deep. stuff it down, don't say shit. Sorry, but you just don't say it, because if you say it, you're weak. If you say you have a problem, that's when you got a problem. Was the belief I had my whole life. I realized that led me to suicide. And it wasn't like, I didn't reach, and like you, I was physically, emotionally, sexually abused my childhood. And it was something I never spoke about. Even speaking about it now hurts. But guess what? That little hurt is like a scab. And I realized when I first started talking about this, bro, it was like every time I'd rip off a new scab, it would heal back better every time. And just every time, it just got easier, to the point where now I'm so candid about it. I don't even care like who hears, what hears, and one of the most embarrassing things for me for a long time, I always looked at being talking about being sexually abused, and people would be like, what? And they're like, this big, bad, tattooed dude. And I'm like, look, I wasn't always this guy. I was, at one time I was a very vulnerable child. But it's crazy, because if I can speak on this, and I say it in a lot of my podcasts, or I say it in interviews as well, that if my worst day can be somebody else's success, then let's go, dude. Like, I'll live it all over tenfold, because you know what? I know I have the strength to live it. And I would never wish what I've been through, what you've been through, what anybody's been through, for anybody else to ever have to live those things. But at the same token, you know what? You can take a happening. I'm taking, what happened to me. That's a happening. And I'm able to transverse it into such a positive that I can push somebody. Do I still have bad days? You darn right I do. And I go through, I like to, I have in one of my interviews, and it's the one I sent you, the surviving self, I say it's like a gremlin, bro. I got a gremlin that rides my back the rest of my life. I know that, but it's up to me to make sure water doesn't hit that little jerk. And I says, well, it's okay. Sometimes water hits them, and I have bad days and I go into slumps, but you know what? I can put on a smile. And I know in my heart, and I know when I open my eyes, I'm a built my ability to take a step forward is there, and I'm there. And one thing I like to say to any viewers, to anybody listening to this, about your mental health, or any problems you've ever had in your life, think about you in a car. You think about in a car, you look through a front window. That's your life. All the crap and traumas, the little rearview mirror. You can't drive through a rearview mirror. You can't. You have to look forward. Now, I'm not saying forget about your past, because the past will always be there, right? But you can just peek at it, and you can peek at it. Cool. You want to be there, bro? That's fine. Does it come up a little fast sometimes? Yeah, it reminds you it's there. But guess what? It ain't passing you. As long as you're in drive, and as long as you see those little white markers going upside your car, you're good to go. So that's one thing, just people just need to realize. Taking a step forward it's a lot easier said than done, 99% of the time. Don't get me wrong, but put those people in your pocket. One thing I heard on an interview the other day, and it was impactful, and I want to say this as part of this mental health thing, is have your 3 o'clock a.m. person. You have your friends that are, and I heard this the other day, dude. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I knew you were coming up, dude. And I was like, I'm saying this on the Griffiths show. It's just, have your 3 a.m. dude. And I'm like, yo, because I'm that 3 a.m. dude to a lot of people, and I'm good to go with that. And the thing is like, you have your friends that you can call for, dinner and hang out and go drink. Can you call them at 3 a.m. if you're really having a bad time? Can you call them at 3 a.m. if you're broken down on the side of the road? Will they get up and come to you and come to your aid? I know I will for my friends. I'm a 3 a.m.er. I like to, like to say, like, I'll drop everything and come to, if I call you my brother, guaranteed I'm coming to your aid.
Yeah, man, and I'm glad you said it, because I didn't realize that I had done that. After all the stuff, the trouble and trials and situations that I've been through, I have three people in my pocket that I know that I can count on when I call them. And we have certain steps that to take once they get that phone call after 12 a.m. They know what to do. They know who to call. And I really didn't realize that until that message went out. Like, those friends are your 3 a.m. friends. And I'm thinking, after all the events that I've been to, the social media that I have, the following. When I narrowed it down, I was thinking, wow, who can I really call? And I had three people, and you hit it right on the spot. Like, although you're the 3 a.m. for a lot of people, and from your friend group, but who are those three people in your life that you can really talk to one on one, let them know what you're going through, tell them the raw and dirty stuff that you're thinking and everything. And it's just so wild on how we navigate that through life and who we actually consider our friends. So my next question is, take me to a moment or experience in your life now, because not only were you a veteran, a Purple Heart recipient, a fighter, a drug addict, but now you do nothing besides create positivity. You give back, and now you gave your life to Christ. Tell me one of those moments where your back has been against the wall and you're like, wow, I know I'm alive for this reason right here. You know, God has paved the way. And I see your social media all the time. You're an advocate of just doing positivity and creating better good in the world. Talk to me about an experience like that.
I think so. Like you said, I gave my life to Christ fully last December. So it's just been over a year now. I like to say I tiptoed in the faith for a long time, but I finally decided, dude. You know what? I was like, enough of this. Either I plant it and I pour the water on my seed, or you hit that Y in the road. You got to pick one way or another. I started going real diligently to a men's prayer group. It's every single week, men's prayer, and then a discipleship group. And I'm sitting in men's prayer, and we do these little breakaways. We do worship, we do God stories, and let people just, how is God coming into your life at this moment and like really affecting or doing stuff? And it's funny because you go to the same when they do breakaways. You do two, three guys, and you do individual prayer, and then everybody bamooses. And for some reason, dude, I always go to the same people. It's just comfortability. You kind of become a creature of habit in life. I wandered over to a group. I didn't know who the heck these dudes were. And this one guy's like, "Oh, hey man, I'm Shane." And I said, "Hey, I'm Shane." And he looks at me, he goes, "Oh, I'm so and so, Efren," I think his name was. And I go, "Oh, okay." Never knew who this dude was. Seen him around church, didn't know who the heck he was. He's from El Salvador. And I was like, "Yo, okay, cool." And then this guy, Mike, like saw him, heard, I know his wife is like super influential in the church. And then this other guy, and I was like, we're all talking. And I'm like, "Yo, what the frick?" Like, I know we got a group of four, but then, one of the guys, he drops in and he drops something super heavy. And it's weird because I was there and I got this guy's attention. For some reason, he locks eyes with me. And he's just like, "Dude, I was looking at your social media the other day, and I got to tell you," he goes, "it's not a matter of if, it's when I'm going to kill myself." Bro, right? It's 6:30 in the morning, bro. And this guy tells me this, and I look at him, dude. First of all, I'm a firm believer in the Bible and everything. I didn't judge. I looked at him and I said, "Tell me more, like talk to me." And I said, "Hey guys, sorry, there's no prayer. We're dealing with this. I went very military-esque on him. And I said, "You're not gonna say something like that and just walk away or brush over it. Like we're going hard in." I started praying for this guy and talking to him, just literally just letting everything flow, what was coming to my heart and my mind form at this moment. And this guy started crying so much that he looked at me, and I said, "Okay." And the other guy starts praying. I went and got advanced help. There's other people in there that can deal with that a lot better than I can, that are trained in it. But I said, "Hey, I'm here for you." And he looks at me and he goes, "I don't know why I told you what I told you." He goes, "But the Holy Spirit told me I have to tell you." And I was like, bro, I was driving home, dude, in the car, and I'm praying. I had to pray, I had to pray some, pray to God. And I was just like, "God, why did you dump that on my chest at 6:30 in the morning on a Tuesday?" It reminded me of Full Circle, and it just, because there was a time that I needed it, and a person named Norby Lara, an Army veteran, Silver Star recipient, lost his arm in a Humvee, getting it ripped off by an RPG. He was there for me, and he would not stop listening, and he's still there to this day. And I go, "Holy crap, I am the Norby in this guy's story." Like, And I, I'm just driving, dude, and so much clarity came from that. So, just being positive and, some of my stuff, I, again, on social media, I skate a gray area, but I'm very diligent on making sure people know where my faith is. I make sure that, where my stance is on a lot of things, and that I'm very family oriented. I'm very, friend oriented. And, if you come at myself or someone I love, I promise I'm bringing, hell and haywire. Is your doorstep's going to get knocked down and then some. It's going to make Babylon look like a chump change. But that's okay. And it's, and I need to realize there's times in life when you sit there and you go, my gosh, do I really make that kind of an impact to people? And you realize you do. I am. And it's kind of scary because that's not what I ever set out to do. But at the same time, I have a platform and I'm able to utilize that platform in such a positive way that it's actually good. Now, again, we're going to revert for a hot sec and say and remind people, look, even though I'm able to help people, I still have people that need to help me because I still go through my own trials and tribulations. Still to this day, nobody's perfect. And anybody that says that they're perfect, dude, they need a psychological evaluation. But at the end of the day, I can still be strong and carry my yoke and still help someone else carry their yoke at the same time of life. But yeah, man, I hope that answers that.
Dude, that's why I love your character and everything that you stand for, is because you can be faith-based and whatever, but you also can be real and raw, and that's what I love about you. You're talking about the platform, and I knew it was going to get brought up, so let's talk about it. Your pinned photo on your Instagram, how do you know him? And tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, you're talking about Kyle Rittenhouse.
There we go.
Oh, Mr. King of Fafo himself.
Yep.
Yeah, dude. So, I'm really good friends with Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is it's a conservative based cell phone line that's all based in America. Everything's done in America. They actually have people in America that answer the phone, not Indonesia, China. You can actually understand them. It's kind of crazy when you call into customer support. But no, so they brought Kyle. Kyle came to AmFest, Charlie Kirk's Turning Point event last year, and I had met Kyle prior a couple times. And I never really spoke to him. I chatted with him, whatever. And he's there with his girlfriend at the time. Well, Shane had a few drinks and had a little liquid courage. And I look over and I'm with Jake Shields. Jake Shields is a good buddy of mine. And I look over and I go, "Hey, Kyle, we're listening to a concert." And I go, "You want a drink?" He goes, "Oh, sorry, sorry, man. I'm only 20." I was like, "Hey, man, you took out a pedophile. I'll buy you the whole bar." And dude, he's like, everybody standing around goes, we're at a Christian, Christian conservative group thing. And everybody's like, and I was like, "Hey, don't worry. Jesus flipped tables and whipped people with a whip. We're good. I'm good. I'm exonerated from this." And people fail to realize that, yeah. So anyway, so they had an event people, Kyle does not take photos with a lot of people, and it was really cool because Patriot Mobile comes over and I was like, "Kyle, what's up, dude?" And he remembered me. He's a very soft-spoken individual. He's very humble, and I just walked up and I just was real with him. I was a human being with Kyle, and I was just real with him. Asked him some questions, talked to him a little bit. I never disrespected what had happened. I never really even talk about it, dude. I talked about life. I asked how he was doing. That was my first question to him. How are you? How is this? How is this? And to find out how faith-based he is and just know that he believes in God, I was like, "Hey, you know what? God's got this. God ain't doing nothing I'm doing, my friend." So I was like, "All right." And I pinned it, and yeah, I said, being a strong Christian conservative man that believes in the Second Amendment, I believe this man, did what he did, and I'm fully behind it. I stand behind his actions. But yeah, man, meeting him, and having that as a pinned photo, has caused more than enough controversy. The pinned photo right next to it is Victor Marx. That's caused enough controversy. But you're talking some of the strongest people in this country that this world needs. You have the number one pedophile hunter in the world, and the number one guy that stood up for the Second Amendment killing a pedophile. And I'm all for it. I'm a father of two amazing kids. And I promise, like I always say, I'm always, you know, there's I always say if there's a case that my daughter, somebody did that, I promise you and anybody that even knows you is in danger. But that's my personal belief, man.
No, and I love it. I'm all for it. Keep the photos pinned up there. I have one more question before we end out. And I don't know if you've seen the viral clips that are going around, but there's this podcaster on Raw Talk, Bradley Martin, and he claims since he's 260 pounds, he's a bodybuilder, but no fighting experience. He was calling out these people from the cage on lower weight classes and seeing if they would stand a chance since he's 260. What would you say to somebody that weighs 260 that has no fight experience but went against someone like you in your prime? Would they stand a chance, or would you be able to dominate somebody like that?
I've seen this with Bradley Martin. I think he's got a great platform. I think he, I mean, I think he, some of his messaging is actually really positive. And he does some great work. Now, and then, but him calling out all these fighters of lower weight classes and stuff, in my prime, I'd smoke him. I'd smoke him in a heartbeat. I get one good leg kick. Now, Bradley, hey man, you know what? All the power to him, dude. I think his physique is freaking amazing. I could wish for, walk around like that. You know what I mean? But walking around and just being all cocky, I saw him take somebody down in a, on a on a hardwood floor. Cool, dude, you're 260. It's like, in my prime, and that guy wasn't even a fighter, and it's like, if you went against a real fighter, bro, and I kicked your leg one shot, I promise his legs, I don't care how much muscle you got, one good solid leg kick, even a good solid double leg, drop you on your head, I promise that ain't that would have been over. And that's no disrespect to Bradley at all. That's just reality. Leg kicks are no joke, and leg kicks will change a game. I've seen some of the biggest, baddest men ever take one solid leg kick, and that was all she wrote.
Yeah, for sure. Man, if there's anything that you could give to the viewers or listeners that's struggling or going through something, a little piece of advice that's maybe helped you, what would you say to those individuals that's listening right now to kind of give them some encouragement before we head out?
I would say the only hard day was yesterday. Tomorrow is a new day. We need to get through today, but in order to get through today, you need to have the vision of tomorrow, the tomorrow vision, I like to call it. And just know that your heart, that there's everybody around you loves you. There's no easy way out of this other than trudging through this. You can't get out of quicksand by kicking and screaming. You get out of quicksand by being calm. And the same way we can get to tomorrow by being calm and getting through it. And now, they always say greener pastures are on the other side of the fence. You can't get there unless you're calm and you just walk, and you got to walk, and you got to believe. And I'm a firm believer that God will always carry you through. God will carry you through that other side. There's trials and tribulations, and there are crevices in this world that you're going to climb into that are dark, but just know that the Holy Spirit is going to light up the way and just light you in the right way. And just know that, your 3 a.m. friends, grab your three, hold on to those three, have meetings. I don't care. It ain't weird. I'll meet up with coffee with guys. I don't care. You know what I mean? Just do that. And just know that tomorrow is going to be such a more better day. And taking your life, I had too many friends last year, as you saw on my social media, taking their lives. And just know that it may seem like the easy way out, but the amount of people you hurt on the back end is tenfold. Just know that there's people like me. And you can read my number's all over online. It's easy to find me. It's a blessing, and I'm here for you. I may not know you, but I love you, and just know that.
Shane, man, your story is incredible. And anybody that's listening right now, I encourage you to go and look him up and really know his story and the link that I post below, because his story goes way farther than what we've been talking about. This is just skimming the tops within 30 minutes, but his story is such an inspirational story to many. Man, I appreciate your time and just you clearing your schedule and coming on the podcast today.